This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. The search for Nancy Guthrie tonight at a chilling turning point. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. In the last weeks, the FBI has confirmed that they obtained DNA from inside Nancy Guthrie's home.
And now you have these laboratories across the country that are able to extract a DNA profile from a hair that is not having that great root materials.
According to reports, the DNA at the Guthrie home, we believe from the bedroom, is hair. Tonight, the search for Nancy Guthrie at a chilling turning point as a cycle of frustration, new leads falling through, and exhaustion is taking its toll. That mixed with a constant drama within the Pima County Sheriff's Office now. Word that Nanos could be charged with perjury? Is that true? What a distraction in the search for Nancy Guthrie. Joining us, an all-star panel to make sense of what we are learning tonight, but right now to one of the foremost genetic genealogists in our country. It's Cece Moore. She is the chief genetic genealogist at Parabon Nano Labs. She has worked with our government, the feds, and private institutions for decades. Cece, we have heard so much about what is happening with the DNA. We are now into day 82. I don't understand it. Even if SNP DNA tests were being done, single nucleotide polymorphism tests, that should have been returned by now. The only thing I can think of, Cece, is that when Nanos' crew went in, and this is no criticism of the crew itself. All criticism is aimed at him. When the crew first went in, they may have missed DNA. This is a small jurisdiction. This is not their expertise. Somehow, some way, a hair was obtained. Cece, what is happening?
Well, it's possible that they collected dozens or even hundreds of pieces of evidence there, and it took time to go through it. I always wondered if they might have tried to use an MVAC on some of the surfaces or some of the items. That could have possibly been how they found that rootless hair. You know, when they use the MVAC, it gets caught on a filter, and then they test those filters for DNA. So I think that it must have been a more recent discovery, even though we have heard that they've had it since February. If they had it since February, I certainly would think they would have already sent that off to Estrella much earlier, because they're the ones who've had so much success extracting SNPs from rootless hair.
Cece Moore, chief genetic genealogist at Parabon Nano Labs, you threw out a lot of phraseology right there that lay people, civilians, and lawyers that are not well versed in DNA are not going to understand. Speak to us, Cece Moore, as if you were speaking to a jury. Now, you mentioned an MVAC, M as in mother, VAC. And Cece, I'd like you to look at your screen. We are showing now the interior. Oh, thank you. There's an MVAC right there. That's for DNA collection. The interior of Nancy Guthrie's bedroom. And according to reports from inside the investigation, this hair was found in the bedroom. Let's see that video from today's YouTube. The video, Cece, shows Mrs. Guthrie in her bedroom, and there are so many surfaces. There is a rug, there are curtains, there is a bedspread, pillows, a lot of fabric. Hardwood floors. Beside her bed, there is a nightstand with books and other things on it. So, in this setting, if the report is accurate that this hair was found in the bedroom, once and for all, Cece Moore, how would an MVAC be used to get that hair?
Well, it could have been on one of the surfaces, or it could have been on one of the items that they collected. I'm not saying that's necessarily how they found it, but it could explain why we're just hearing about it now, a couple months later. Or they've been working with it at DNA Labs International, the lab that Nanos sent the evidence to, and have been potentially unable to extract that SNP profile. That's something DNA Labs International told me they were working on way back in 2019. But I just haven't seen any successful cases coming out of that lab. That's not to say that there aren't any, but I have not known of any. Whereas Estrella Forensics has had one success after another with rootless hair. And they are the ones that originally developed this technique to extract SNPs from rootless hair after scientists have been saying for decades that it was not possible.
Okay, it is possible. SNP has been around a little while, of course, nothing like other type of DNA analysis, but okay, I've got to break down what you just said, Cece, because a lot is riding on it. First of all, the MVAC. Can MVAC be used on hard surfaces and fabric surfaces?
I believe so. I'm not the one in there collecting the DNA. I work with it after that has all been done. But my understanding is that it can.
Well, you're right, Cece Moore. The MVAC forensic DNA collection system is extremely effective on both fabric and hardwood. It's for particularly recovering DNA from porous or even challenging surfaces. And what it is a wet vac. We all have a wet vac for our basements. A wet vac technique. It sprays liquid very gently and then suctions it back into the MVAC. See that plastic tube? That's what that is. That is the recirculation of DNA that is taken from either a hard, such as a hardwood floor, or a tabletop or a countertop, a hard surface, or from fabric, such as what we were showing you in the Nancy Guthrie bedroom, the bedspread, the cushions, the carpet. So an MVAC squirts out very gentle spray of liquid, and then it sucks it back up through that plastic tube. It looks like you're actually using a wet vac. Now, this has by far outperformed traditional swabbing on materials like cloth, bedding, and wood. Why? Because it gets the entire surface. When you use an MVAC, you get the whole surface, like you're vacuuming your floor or your carpet, and you can see where you vacuumed. Same thing with an MVAC. When you swab, which is with, very often it's with a long Q-tip, and a substance is put on the Q-tip, and it is then used to collect DNA off the surface. So clearly, an MVAC will cover a greater area, hence why it is so much more successful than traditional swabbing techniques. So once you get the MVAC result or the swabbing result, you get one hair. Cece Moore, you keep mentioning Estrella Labs. What is that?
It is a lab out in Santa Cruz that was founded by the very brilliant Dr. Ed Green. And when I say that we were told it couldn't be done, that's because for decades we were told that you could only get useful DNA from hair that has a root. And so there are many cases out there that only have rootless hair or that hair shaft. And Dr. Ed Green proved everyone wrong by developing a technique to extract SNP DNA, which is what we need for genetic genealogy, from those hairs. I personally have helped solve 6 cases using rootless hair alone, working with Estrella Forensics, and they have done dozens and dozens more cases since they developed this technique.
Rootless hair evidence. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Cece, you are referring to rootless hair evidence. This is critical.
Correct.
Rootless hair evidence traditionally would require a mitochondrial DNA analysis. In your hair, in the root of your hair. It's called nuclear DNA, like the nuclear family, a mother, a father, child, nuclear family. Nuclear DNA has DNA from the mother and the father only found in the root of your hair when it comes to hair. So if that root is not attached to the hair, which is very often the case, we shed thousands of hairs a day from our arms, from our body, which reminds me, Cece, I got to talk to you about the difference if this is a head hair or an arm hair or a leg hair or an eyelash or an eyebrow, how that differentiates when you're doing this analysis. But without that nucleus in the root, it becomes a whole nother can of worms. You, Cece Moore, have had great success in rootless hair evidence. Now, isn't it true that the lab used in the Long Island serial killer case against Rex Heuermann, who we know murdered 8 people, and I think many, many more. Oh, dear Lord, there he is. Just pled guilty, so we'll never know the full truth in that, like Brian Koberger. Rootless hair evidence was very, very important in that case. Isn't it true, Cece Moore, that the wife of the Long Island serial killer's hair was found on some of the victims' bodies?
Yes. So 9 hairs were found and analyzed by Astrea Forensics, and they were found on 6 to 7 of the victims, on belts, on tape, and on in the burlap sacks as well. And those hairs were then traced back to Rex Heuermann, his wife, and his daughter. I think that's one of the reasons he probably decided to confess, because when they had a Fry hearing to determine whether that DNA evidence could be used in court, the judge ruled in favor of the prosecution. So that was a really important precedent that was set using rootless hair in a court of law.
So, Cece, the lab behind the Gilgo Beach killer conviction is now believed to be involved in the Nancy Guthrie kidnap case. Now, what do you make of that? You are referring to Astrea Forensics. Is that the lab you're talking about?
It is. And I've been hypothesizing that the FBI would send that rootless hair onto Astrea because that is who they've had so much success with, including in the Gilgo Beach murder prosecution. But that's not the only one. There have been dozens of other cases where the FBI has sent rootless hair to Astrea and had success.
Question to you. If it is one hair, Cece Moore, if it is one hair, then how can it be used over and over and over? For instance, if it went to DNA Labs International and they were obviously not successful with the SNP technique, now it's being sent, we believe, to Astrea. How much analysis can you get out of one hair?
Yeah, that's a real issue because the hair is destroyed when it is being analyzed in that manner. And so I don't know if this was a longer hair, which gave them more opportunity for testing, or whether DNA Labs International didn't even attempt to analyze that. We don't know, unfortunately. But I know that even at Astrea, sometimes it takes multiple attempts to extract that SNP profile from the hair. And by the way, SNP profiles are nuclear DNA. That is why we can use that for genetic genealogy. And so that's what makes it so valuable to make that identification. Now, of course, we don't know who that hair comes from and won't know until there is successful analysis and then genetic genealogy performed to identify that contributor of that hair.
Well, here's the good news, Cece Moore. If it belonged to Nancy Guthrie or anybody in her family or a relative of hers or anyone that worked there that has been used for comparison, they wouldn't still be analyzing it. And we know from the beginning, because Nano's blurted out that there is stranger DNA found in her home. So that is the good news. It's not Nancy Guthrie. It's not her family or the people that work with her.
I think the FBI probably was in the process of analyzing it to see if it was consistent with Nancy's hair or any of the known visitors from the home. And if not, that's when it would then be sent on to Astrea. So if we have confirmation that it has gone to Australia or is on its way there, then that certainly does suggest that it does not appear to be from anyone who was known to be in that home.
So we were talking about how far one hair can take us. At what point do you use up the one hair? And when we're talking about, and I'm saying just one hair, but we have to remember in the Brian Koberger quadruple homicide case, that case rose and fell on a DNA analysis of one sample of DNA on the snap of a knife sheath that was invisible to the naked eye. So if that was invisible to the naked eye and we can see the hair, ergo, there would be more DNA in something we can actually see with the naked eye. So it's hard for us lay people, us civilians, C.C. Moore, to understand how one hair can go so far. Like they can test it at DNA Labs International. And after testing and testing and testing, they go, oh, no good. We're sending it to Austria. So, and when I'm saying Austria, it's A-S-T-R-E-A, Austria. When will that hair give out? When will we run out of a specimen? Can it be resequenced and regenerated?
No, and I don't believe there could have already been a lot of testing on that hair unless it's a very long hair. And so that leads me to believe that either DNA Labs International did not attempt it or there was, you know, more hair than we know available to test because it is destroyed and you can't just keep retesting it over and over and over again. So I'm just thankful there is some left that is able to be sent to Australia, apparently, since they are the ones that are really the experts in that process.
What I don't get, Cece, is why it wasn't sent to them to start with.
Yeah, that is really hard to understand. And that's why I wonder if it's something that wasn't found until recently, meaning they say it was collected back in February, but maybe it wasn't detected. You know, maybe just one hair, maybe that was stuck on one of those MVAC filters somewhere, and it wasn't noticed until they'd been going through these dozens or hundreds of pieces of evidence and then came across it. Otherwise, it doesn't make much sense to have this months-long delay.
C.C. Moore, this is quite a burden on the lab that is conducting the test because this whole case could hang in the balance and depend on one hair. But once you get the analysis on the one hair, like once you got Brian Koberger's match, then all the other pieces fall in place. You find the car, you find his location, you go into his search history and his social media based on the first. It's like, you know, every building starts with one brick. And this is the brick on which the case will be built if we get a match. Now, quickly, Cece, I know you're running to another lab right now. Let me ask you a question. What is the difference if you have a head hair versus an arm hair, a leg hair, an eyelash even, an eyebrow hair? How is that analyzed any differently? I mean, obviously, if you have a head hair, and as you pointed out, it's got to have a nucleus to undergo SNP testing. So whatever it is has a nucleus. But how do those various hairs, how are they analyzed differently or are they?
They aren't, but with head hair, it is often thicker than something like arm hair or leg hair. And head hair, of course, will keep on growing and growing. So you might have a much longer piece versus a very tiny hair from an arm or a leg. We've worked with pubic hairs as well. They're all of slightly different thickness or coarseness. And so that might mean that it's easier to get DNA from a thicker hair, or obviously a longer hair, but otherwise I don't think the process is all that different.
Cece, how hard is it to do? What do you physically have to do?
I know it is a very difficult process, which is why it was believed for so long to not even be possible. I have waited months for that SNP profile to be created from rootless hair on some of my cases. And so I know they've had to try multiple times on some pieces of hair. Some hair is more SNP rich, more DNA rich than others. And so, you know, you kind of have to get lucky as well that there is a lot of DNA to be extracted on any given hair. Whether it's gone through a chemical process can affect it, you know, whether it's been dyed, that can have an effect. And so we've got to hope for a little bit of luck here. If they're sending one single hair out to Australia, you're right, it puts a huge burden on them, very stressful. I have no doubt that they would push that analysis to the front of their long line, because most of the time we're working cold cases with these rootless hairs. The fact that this is a hot case and that Nancy is still out there and needs to be found makes this really, really top priority. So I hope that they will be able to complete that analysis much more quickly than what I have seen historically.
Cece, you stated that you personally have had 6 successful cases out of Australia. What kind of cases were they?
Well, one of them was a kindergartner, Anne Pham, who was walking to kindergarten on her own, very first time. She begged mom that she could walk. There were, I think, 12 children. They were from Vietnam, moved here for a better life. And their young daughter walking to school was kidnapped. She was murdered and dumped on the military base up there. And I worked with Seaside Police Department and Monterey Police as well on that case. We had a rootless hair, and we were able to identify her killer as one of her neighbors. Poor Annie Pham walked right by his house on her way to school. And it was only like a short block or two. I mean, just horrible, horrible luck that he happened to live right there and that she was allowed to walk to school that day. And so that was an important case because we did not have the traditional law enforcement DNA profile. There was no CODIS profile. There, you know, wasn't DNA evidence in that case prior to being able to use that rootless hair. And so the court had to decide whether or not it would accept that SNP profile for identification. And they chose to do so in that case, which was another really important precedent set. As far as using rootless hair in cases like this.
Cece Moore, Chief Genetic Genealogist, Parabon Nano Labs. We're all on standby. She has had great success with Austria Labs, great success, even in difficult, degraded DNA, old DNA cases. It's amazing that this entire case could hinge on one hair. Tonight, legal eagles and forensic specialists all over the country are concerned that the hot and cold nature of the search for Nancy Guthrie is taking a toll and creating now a chilling turning point in the search for Nancy Guthrie. There's been a lot of stops and starts. Straight out to Dave Matt, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Dave, in the last days, we were told that in the late night hours, a subject had been detained for questioning. Nothing ever came of it. When questioned about it, Nanos, the elected sheriff in Pima County, gave a very terse one-word answer. Nope, that was it. No further elaboration about what is going on. It seems as if it's up and down, hot and cold. You think you have a lead. You wake up the next morning. It just vanishes like fog. It's exhausting to the investigators, to the detectives, much less to the family. What happened with Nanos? I'm not talking about his new drama with claims of perjury. We'll get to that. But the hot and cold nature of this case.
You know, Nancy, this case is being followed by millions of people nationwide and around the world. And, you know, we all got the tip that there was activity south of Tucson, a neighborhood where we've been before, where a person was detained previously. And now there is activity and possibly somebody detained again. That was news that exploded. And we were on it. Our whole team was calling one another, trying to figure out what was going on. And yet, when it comes right down to it, Nanos doesn't even talk about it other than when he's asked a question, was there someone detained last night? He doesn't explain anything. He doesn't explain why there was activity or if there even was. He only says, nope, just like that. And it's, I cannot imagine how bad it is for the family to be dismissed like that. Because look, he can be dismissive to the media, but to the family, to not engage and say, this is what's going on. It didn't pop out of nowhere, Nancy. There had to have been a reason that we were all told a certain thing and went after it. And all we're getting from Nana's, nope.
To Brian Fitzgibbons joining us. He is the Director of Operations, USPA Nationwide Security. Fitzgibbons leads a team of investigators around the world looking and extracting missing people, including in Mexico, which is significant in the Nancy Guthrie case. There have been more recent ransom notes where Nancy Guthrie is described as having been in Mexico, having been seen. That said, Brian, in every case, there are stops and starts. In this case, it's been extremely peculiar and exhausting. Have you experienced that in your searches?
Oh, certainly, Nancy. And on one case in particular that you've actually covered a couple of times that my team and I have been working on for close to 4 years now, Andy Wagner missing from Evansville, Indiana. We would go through periods where, you know, we'd have hundreds of calls on the tip line, emails, information, then something would pop, right? And that you have to fight the natural inclination to become emotionally attached to that lead and to run your process. And, you know, with the public specter of Mrs. Guthrie's case, that's incredibly difficult for these investigators, knowing, you know, the mountain of evidence that they have to process, the mountain of tips, and then one of these things seems to move forward and then it falls off. That's very difficult to keep morale high.
Well, another aspect to this, Brian Fitzgibbons, is we saw a series of people detained, questioned, and released. But in a regular investigation, that is to be expected. What do you want them to do? Not detain the person, not question them? So that goes with the territory. So you can't really blame the Sheriff's Department for that. They're doing what they need to do.
I think what's different here is it speaks to limited capabilities. The people detained and released seemingly have no connection to Mrs. Guthrie. And it exposes that maybe some of this cellular analysis and data analysis that had been done wasn't so great, right? That they're capturing a vehicle that was through there that has zero connection to the case, and that they were actually further off than the public believed that they were.
To Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, a renowned psychoanalyst out of the LA jurisdiction, author of Deal Breaker. You can see her now on Peacock and Bravo and find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, the hot and cold nature of this investigation has worn down investigators, worn down the family, worn down the public. And the way that Nanos is treating it is highly unusual.
You know, Nancy, to work with a sheriff who gives out a lot of information when he's at the beginning of the case, he's in his glory days, so to speak. There's a lot of narcissistic gratification. All the reporters want to talk to him. He's a celebrity of sorts. And then as the case begins to grow cold, his only response is, nope. He becomes depriving and withholding with information. That's what I call a toxic relationship, right? When the other person feels good, they give you a lot of information. When they feel bad, they become withholding and depriving. So I think the public has a toxic relationship with Nanos. So let's just hold that in mind as a frame for my next comments, which are that it's a little bit like compassion fatigue. If you have somebody in your life who says, oh, I'm about to die, I'm going to kill myself, and you know, put all your resources and efforts towards helping them, and they say, nah, I'm okay. And then a week later, they're like, I'm in crisis. I'm going to kill myself. You put all your efforts and resources towards helping them. A week later, nah, I'm okay. It creates a feedback loop between you and the other person where you start to disbelieve them and you start to hold back your own internal resources so that you're not exploited. Now, that's not, you know, apple to apples comparison with the Nancy Guthrie case, but I will say with the investigators and the family, when they are given information that is sort of sensationalized, the media picks it up, it's given by Nanos in such a way that, we got the culprit, you know, that kind of excitement. And then the lead grows cold. That creates dread, anxiety, feelings that you cannot trust the people who are in charge of the investigation. And, you know, investigators, detectives, these people are not immune from human emotions like the rest of us. So if you're held, a carrot is held out, then it's taken away, held out, taken away. They're going to feel very anxious, deprived, confused, not sure what to believe, and eventually withdraw from hope in order to protect themselves. And then that leaves Savannah Guthrie's family sort of out in the cold without supports.
You know, I'm just thinking of the toll it has taken on the investigation. Also, we are learning more about one of the ransom notes. We're learning that it was very vividly written, quote, I saw her alive with kidnappers in Mexico. A couple of new notes in the Nancy Guthrie case, both from the same person offering information on the kidnapper, but they reveal a location claiming they saw her in Mexico, in Sonora, the state of Sonora, a large Mexican state. It borders Arizona and also borders parts of New Mexico. So I notice that the sender is not suggesting Nancy Guthrie is still alive, which also takes us to a critical turning point in this investigation. They say, in fact, quote, she is dead. Straight back out to Brian Fitzgibbons, USPA Nationwide Security. What will be the challenges of searching in the Sonora area, and how will it be done if, in fact, this note is taken seriously?
Well, I don't think that this note will be taken seriously for a number of reasons, but let's say it was, right? The searching in Sonora is going to bring on a whole new set of challenges. First and foremost, there's going to have to be significant collaboration and cooperation between the U.S. and Mexican governments to organize these searches. Secondly, there's going to be very limited buy-in from the local populace to organize volunteer searches or to utilize resources from their local law enforcement. So, you know, if Mrs. Guthrie is indeed in Sonora and was taken across the border, this complicates things tremendously.
Well, also in that area, Brian Fitzgibbons, isn't it true that there are huge swaths of desert, virtually impossible to search that type of terrain? Also, the corruption we see in the U.S. amongst police is nothing compared to what it is in Mexico. It's unlike anything we have experienced. In the U.S., you got a few bad apples. That's the truth. A few bad apples within the police are corrupt. There's only a few people that are not corrupt within law enforcement. So you've got these huge swaths of desert. You've got extreme corruption within the law enforcement there. And you have the cartel influence on all of the citizens. They don't want to cooperate in any way with law enforcement. So where does that leave us?
Yeah, and adding to that, Nancy, you know, beyond the corruption is who controls this land, and then the land that would be searched, and primarily in the first instance, there would be an extensive grid search done by drone, right? So do these people want to allow those drones to fly over their land? You know, are there illegal activities happening on that land? It's going to be, you know, complicated is not the right word, nearly impossible if Mrs. Guthrie was taken across the border. without a source, without a direct witness source.
So to Dr. Bethany Marshall, joining us, psychoanalyst out of L.A., where does this leave Nancy's family? Do you know people are still online claiming the family is responsible? They're pointing directly to the son-in-law, Annie Guthrie's husband. I mean, it just never ends, seemingly. But now, as the case is reaching this turning point, many people are calling it a cold case. Detectives are insisting it is not a cold case. It may hinge on one hair. What is the family supposed to do? If they're functioning under the belief she could be in Mexico, where we're going to get no cooperation at all, and then you've got Nanos potentially facing perjury charges?
Nancy, huge disappointment, anxiety, dread. Do you know, Nancy, that one conspiracy theorist actually said that Savannah Guthrie disappeared her own mother in order to get increased ratings and to get a new contract on the Today Show? That's how disgusting the theories are that are out there. So the family's under assault and siege while they are looking for their own beloved mother. You know, Nancy, when it comes to our mothers, it's never a cold case. We always want to have our mothers safe and with us. Nancy, you know, your mother lives in your home with you. You take care of her every day. You and I talk about it, how you bring her breakfast and you check in on her, and how important that relationship is for the entire family. So where does this leave the Guthrie family? I think with huge amounts of dread, anxiety, and despair, not knowing whom to trust, and having put their whole faith in the law enforcement system to have Nanos withdraw all of those talks that he gave at the very beginning would make them believe that support is being withdrawn, and that's going to be very depressing for them.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Dr. Bethany, I want to tell you what I saw. It may have even been yesterday. I feel like every hour on the phone with somebody new trying to find out anything new about the search for Mrs. Guthrie, constantly looking online for any tidbit of evidence I could dig up. And I put in keywords, and guess what popped up, Dr. Bethany? There is a whole analysis about how the Today Show got a slight bump in ratings when Savannah returned from the search for her mother. And it just, I wouldn't even read it. It just hit me cold that her disappearance is being bandied about like it's a ratings bone. I mean, there's a very, very strong possibility that she's dead. And Savannah is wrestling with that and hoping, still hoping. It's a horrible limbo to wake up in the morning and it hits you like a ton of bricks. This horrible thing has happened. And for a few moments when you first wake up, it doesn't hit you, but then it does hit you. And then you spend the rest of your day trying to act normally. And then to have it treated like a bone to be thrown for a little bump in the ratings, it's amoral. It's wrong.
I still have hope in human nature. I'm going to say I blame the journalists for this one. I saw those articles too, like Savannah Guthrie returns to the Today Show. There's a bump in ratings. And why is that in front of us in the news? It's because the media, I believe, and you know, you and I are the media too, so you know, we're a part of that community, is wanting to put forward something sensational. On the other hand, the bump, Nancy, might be that the world cares about Nancy Guthrie, so they are tuning in to see what Savannah has to say. Maybe they care about, how is she dressed? What's her affect? What's her grooming? How does she appear? I just spent a couple weeks in France, and my friends and colleagues over there, their first question to me was, and I hadn't seen them in a year, was, do you think we're going to find Nancy Guthrie? So the world cares about this, Nancy. The wide world cares. And maybe that's really why we have the bump in ratings, is that people are tuning in to see what happens. You know, Nancy Guthrie is a mother. She's a good mother. She has three beautiful children. She has grandchildren. We all have mothers who we love. You love your mother. She lives with you. On many shows, you have discussed what you feed her for breakfast and, you know, how you engage with her throughout the day. And so mothers are important to all of us. And I'm going to hope that the bump in ratings is because we love our mothers and the public wants to know how Savannah is doing, and they're supporting her with prayers and interest in this case.
And you know, Dr. Bethany, Mother's Day is coming up, and that's just going to be pure hell for Savannah. But that said, you're right. I can't go anywhere without people asking me, where are we going to find Nancy Guthrie? What do you know that you're not saying? And so forth and so on. It's been devastating for them, and this is just throwing gas on the fire. Dave Mack, nanos, perjury, what?
Nancy, this goes back to a deposition that Nanos gave in December, where he was asked a very specific question if he had ever been suspended as an officer under his position, okay? They're getting character assessment here in this hearing or in this deposition. And Nanos stated he had never been suspended as a result of disciplinary action while working as a law enforcement officer, declared it very specifically. And Nancy, quickly, everyone proved it was a lie, not just a little one, not just a mistake, a big lie. Nanos was suspended. Nanos actually was suspended so many times in his time in El Paso, Texas, between 1976 and 82. There were 26 internal allegations about Nanos and 8 separate suspensions for a total of 37 days of unpaid leave. But Nanos said, no, never been suspended. Now, after being accused of perjury, Nanos' lawyer says, oh, he didn't understand the question. He misunderstood. He thought you were talking about...
Let me ask you something really quickly, Dave Mack. Did he say it under oath?
That deposition was not under oath, Nancy. I don't think it was anyway. When I was looking over this, actually...
I thought all depositions are under oath. If it's a deposition, it's under oath.
I misspoke. That deposition that he gave...
Should I charge you with perjury? So we got to make sure he was under oath first. If he's under oath, he's on the wrong end of a long barrel. Fitzgibbons, you're joining me from Massachusetts. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you guys have gnats up there? G-N-A-T-S, gnats?
We do. They haven't really started biting just yet, but coming in May, that they'll start to be very active here.
Well, in the South, there are biters, and then there are just gnats that are simply very irritating, and you can hear, you just see them. And that is how Southerners can tell if you're from up north, because if you're from up north, you go like that, and if you're from the South, you go, that said, I don't care about Nanos' alleged perjury charge. That's like a gnat flying around my head. All I care about is how all of his distractions are going to harm the search for Nancy. How can he focus? And if your leader isn't focused, then the troops are not as focused as they should be. If the leader is completely distracted, how is that hurting the investigation? Thank heaven the feds are involved.
Yeah, and hey, here's the deal. We know that all of this public controversy has at a minimum done real damage to the Pima County Sheriff's Office at large, right? The union has taken a vote of no confidence. That doesn't bode well for their effectiveness in the field. You know, when you have the leader, the public-facing leader of this investigation, spending the majority of his time defending his reputation, answering questions about his past, battling political pressure, it inevitably demoralizes the detectives on the ground who are doing the actual day-to-day work.
If you know or think you know anything regarding the disappearance of Ms. Guthrie, please dial toll-free 800-CALL-FBI, toll-free 1-800-225-5324. There is a $1.2+ million reward for information leading to her whereabouts. A conviction or even arrest is not required. And now, we remember an American hero, Officer Dallas Hinton, Thomasville PD, Alabama, just 25, survived by his grieving fiance, Officer Dallas Hinton, American hero. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast, guaranteed human.